I don't know if the songbooks are out, but the first one we're going to sing is 273, if you want to follow along.
Tells me what my Father has. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, my Lord. Yamayanagabosa, Jesus. You're worthy, my Lord. Hallelujah, my God. Thank you, Lord.
218 for the next song.
Amen.
Years I spent in vanity. Oh,
Lord. How could you not feel the presence of the Lord?
Amen.
Fill my way every day with love. Man. Tell you what. You always get so hyped up about the weekend, and it's always a test to be hyped up during the midweek.
Amen.
And if we can come in here with the same enthusiasm as we do on Sunday, man, we can always tear this place apart.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There should be no such thing as a Bucky white person or a Bucky Indian or a praise God. Praise God. I think, well, Sister Walker, too. Yeah. You know what I mean by Bucky?
Nope, that's a
good word. I've mentioned it several times.
Yeah.
Shy, timid, speechless, motionless, eyes always looking down. Disconnected, not motivated. I mean, you can just go down the list. And in our culture, we call them Bucky Indians because all they do is just kind of stand back in the shadows and don't want to be seen. But there's no Bucky Indians in the Church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right. There should be no Bucky Caucasians and. Amen. No Bucky, yellow people, purple people, black people, red people. Praise God. If we love God, we should be bubbling over.
That's
right.
Amen.
We should be bubbling over with that love.
Yes.
We shouldn't be Bucky about it.
That's right. Amen.
So now you've learned something. If there's any Native Americans that are on the podcast, they'll probably say, I know what that means. Praise God. Only Native Americans know that. And it's time to overcome the timidness and shyness and fear, whatever it is.
Yes.
God, give us the Holy Ghost and we're not like that anymore. I always remember Brother Gerritsen used to do that. Wake us up and he'd say, who are you? And we all respond, Holy Ghost who? Holy Ghost who? Holy Ghost who? And it's like, woo-hee. Bloodthirsty Lakota warriors looking for that scalp. The devil's scalp I'm talking about.
Amen.
Wanting to count coup on the devil.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about counting coup on everybody else, but we need to count coup on the devil.
Yeah. Amen.
Praise God. When you start looking that way toward his direction, guess what? He's going to say, hey, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Praise God. So you think about that. I'm just trying to immerse you in some Native American, amen, how would I say it, customs or whatever. Praise God. But that's how I feel. I mean, there should be no excuse for us coming in here and all quiet during the...
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
It's the same Holy Ghost we were feeling Sunday.
Amen.
In this place. And I don't know about you, but I'm feeling charged up. I mean, I don't take me long when I get down and pray. It just seems like the Holy Ghost gives me a good zap. And I seem to come out of my, my mindset. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's good to see everybody. Before we forget, what time is everybody congregating Friday? 5 o'clock? 5:30. Okay, everybody get that? 5:30 p.m. We're having a garden party.
Amen.
Praise God. A garden party. Amen. And I was, Sister Dina showed me some pictures. They're coming up already. This sprouting up already. And we got a really good dose of rain this morning. And then, praise God, just kind of moved out, and then the sunshine came and said, wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. But I'm thankful I'm in the house of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm thankful I'm serving the Lord.
Amen.
I'm living for Him. No other place. No better place. Praise God, I'd rather be than. Amen. With Him.
Amen.
And in Him. Praise God. And I just want us to be able to get to the point where we can allow Him to move in our lives, where we can, amen, we can achieve certain things, make progress, and come to a place of understanding, becoming stable, having some stability. That's what the Lord will do for you if you keep on seeking Him, if you're pursuing Him. He's going to establish you. He's going to root. He's going to ground you, and you're going to be rooted. And that's the amazing thing what God's doing. Turn with me in your Bibles this evening to the book of Hosea. Hosea. However you want to pronounce it, I guess. Hosea. In chapter 6. Chapter 6. Amen. I felt the Lord moving me this direction this morning. And so I just begin to, as I always do, just follow the leading of His Spirit. And as I said, obviously the Lord wants us to come to a place where we can, amen, develop in a lot of areas in our life, whatever it may be. And let's read it, chapter 6, verse number 4, we'll start with, and O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? He's asking two questions, addressing, of course, the northern kingdom, and then he's addressing the southern kingdom. What shall I do unto thee? What am I going to do with you? What do you want me to do unto you? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away.
Wow. Ouch.
Therefore I have hewed them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Now, if you have a commentary in your Bible, or if you have a Bible that kind of gives you an idea of what he's, basically what he's talking to Israel and Judah about, this is one thing that he was addressing now. And this is something that I believe that we all need to understand. We all need to be aware, be mindful of this. But what he was addressing with Israel was their inconsistencies. Their inconsistencies. Amen. They're back and forth. Back and forth. Mm-hmm. That's why he said it that way. He said, your goodness is as a morning cloud. And as the early dew, it goeth away. In other words, it doesn't last very long. Yeah. Only for a short period of time, and pretty soon, what happens? It dissipates. It disappears. So their goodness was not long lasting. It's kind of fizzled out. That's what the Lord's controversy was with Israel. And you go into a little bit more detail, you'll find out the reason why. And of course, we see it there and what he's talking about there and what he brings out, you know. He said, I desired mercy in verse number 6. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. That should be the, how would I say, the result. When we come together, that should be the result of our attending to God's word. It should have an effect on us where it gets a hold of us. We understand certain things. We come to understanding. We come to revelation. And that's one thing that God will always do. Remember this. Of course, it's never up to us to try to figure out. All we have to do is obey. If you look at the Word of God, everything in there is based upon instruction. Everything in there is given, everything is based upon commandment. When you give instruction, you're going to give a commandment. You're going to give a directive. You're going to, in other words, it comes down to, he basically orders us. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. So when he imparts to us the word of God, he does it in the sense that he orders us. He gives us a commandment. He gives us a directive. Now, it's not up to us to try to figure it out. It's just up to us just to obey. Because when you obey, you're going to find out later on why it was important for you just to obey. When you follow the Lord, and as you follow him and you submit yourself to his will, you're going to find out later on why, amen, that he wanted you to do that, why he wanted you to humble yourselves. It's going to come to you, and all he wants you to do is go through the process. And amen, and here, you know, it's kind of a fine line, because when you take a look at it, you know what I talked about Sunday afternoon about obeying the gospel. Yeah. Obeying the death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus came and died for us. He died for our sins. He was buried. He resurrected. So we not only have to receive that and believe it, but we have to obey it. Mm-hmm. It's his word. So what we do is we obey his word. Mm-hmm. And if I want to say it in a sense, he motivates us to execute his will. Is that understandable?
Yes.
To execute his will. And that's what he was saying about Israel. He said, I desired mercy. Why? Because if the word of God gets a hold of us, if we really pay attention, if we really listen to what it is trying to lead us and instruct us to do, We're going to find out something. It's going to have an effect on our life that it's going to do in such a way that it's going to change us. Amen. The way we think and the way we live. Our conduct, our behavior, our conversation. Everything about us is going to have that effect on us. Did you realize that every time we come in here, Jesus said that. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them with thy truth. So what happens is when we hear the word of God, guess what? It begins a work of sanctification in us. It begins to cleanse us, the washing of water by the word. So what it does is it washes away all the, if I want to say it in that sense, the we're defiled. And when we come in here and if we don't keep ourselves, we're defiled. So what God wants us to do, he wants us to pay attention to his word. So as a result, his word, the process of his word, when it goes out, guess what's going to happen? He's going to begin to cleanse us. So he begins that process. Okay? But Israel wasn't paying attention. Israel wasn't paying attention. They were hearing, but they weren't obeying. So he said, instead of mercy, because guess what happens? When the Holy Ghost works in us, and it begins to work in us, and of course, we should manifest, the fruits of the Spirit should be manifested in our lives. And we know what that's all about, don't we? The goodness and the gentleness and faith and all that, peace, joy, love, all that. The fruit of the Spirit, as I said last week, begin to work in our life. It's going to produce that in us. So we're going to be able, we're going to walk in our flesh. We're going to manifest that fruit. We're actually going to be good people. Amen. We're going to be kind people. We're going to be gentle people, huh? Yes. We're going to be people full of love, full of joy. How many of you are happy today?
Yes.
I'm happy.
Amen.
You know why? Because I know the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. When your salvation is intact, no matter what you're going through, you're going to, that joy is going to be there, and you're going to just praise God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Yep. As we used to sing in Sunday school class, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. We all feel just the joy of the Lord. Maybe one of these times we'll all sing Father Abraham together.
There you go.
Yep. Yeah.
Praise God. We'll see how many really love the Lord.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
Praise God. That's when you know people really love God. Amen. But that was his controversy, as he said. Instead of mercy, I desired mercy and not sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. The knowledge of God. Now, think about that. Knowing God. Knowing him more than burnt sacrifice. We should never be so complacent in our comfortableness that all we do is we just come in and we go through the motions.
Yeah.
Without really engaging. It's something that it's an experience that is trying to us, because we can't come in here and I said this several times before, we should never be of the mindset where we can come in here and we could just go through the routines.
Yeah,
right.
We could do a little clapping, we can do a little shouting, maybe a little jumping every once in a while, and we think we're fine. But guess what? Your heart's not into it.
Yeah.
Your heart's far away from it. You're just trying to appease yourself.
Amen.
Make yourself feel good. When God doesn't want us doing that, he wants us to get into this thing.
Yep.
Yes.
Amen. Love him.
Yes.
Heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Right.
So in other words, we're not just going through the motions. We're here. We're worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. We're giving it all. We're here. We're executing his will, our love for him, his will. So you think about that. And he said, the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. No, the knowledge. That's the word. Knowledge. When we think about it, he's not just talking about intellectual knowledge. It's just not something that we put right here. When he imparts to us his word, we don't just put it right here. Doesn't should never stop here. God didn't give us his word so that we can be intellectually spiritual. There's no such a thing. And when you think about knowledge, think about it this way. It's more than just being able to know the scripture and quote every chapter and verse, because there's some people that can do that. And it's more than just doing that. What he wants us to do, he wants to apply it. He wants us to put it into practice in our life. So that knowledge is not just contained up here, but that knowledge is, amen, we're immersed in the word. So our knowledge becomes more than just knowing, but it becomes experiential. In other words, when we put it to practice, we begin to live. We begin to really know. Did you know that word when Jesus said he spoke that word? And that's one of the Sister Dina's favorite passages, that depart from me, that ye that do evil, because I never knew you.
Right. That's right.
You know what that means? That means that they were never intimate with him. That's why it's important for us to be intimate with God.
Amen.
Come to a place of intimacy. What does that mean? To love him.
Yep.
To love him like you love your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your children. To love him like that. Amen. Even more so.
Yes.
Praise God. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. That's what he said.
That's right.
That doesn't mean for you to stop loving him.
That's right.
That just means for you to love him more.
Right.
Have that intimate relationship where we love him more. This should mean something to us.
Yeah. Amen.
Coming to the house of Amen. God should mean something to us.
Yep. Amen.
It should, you know, it should somehow quicken us to understand that, man, I want to go there because I really love my Lord. I really love my God. I love him. So I don't want to come in and I don't want to give him lip service.
Amen.
I don't want to come in and just be, amen, somebody that just goes through the routines, goes through the motions.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Why is that? Well, we have a good example. He said, your goodness is like the morning cloud. Mm-hmm. After a while, when the sun comes up, guess what? It just dissipates. It goes away. It doesn't last very long. It's not long lasting.
Amen.
Not much, amen, life to that goodness. Praise God.
Amen.
So you think about that, okay? So, and another place in the book of Hosea, if you want to turn back a couple pages and we'll go there. In Hosea 4, and verse number 6, he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Mm-hmm. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forgive thy children. So we see, he said, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Lack. You know what? I believe this. Now, I've been serving the Lord a few years, but I know this. God wants us to know him. God wants us to grow in him. God wants us to understand everything about his word, the intricate details of his word. We look at that, we look at the Bible, and we can say, you know, a lot of people believe this, we can excuse certain portions of the scripture. Amen. That's how people approach the scripture. We can excuse certain portions of the scripture because they don't really pertain to us today. That's not true. Why would Paul say all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine? Huh?
Yes.
For instruction in righteousness, for correction, for reproof, even rebuke. All scripture, not just some scripture.
Yep.
But people want to dismiss. We don't have to pay attention to that part.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. It's not in there. So we understand all scripture. knowledge. So that's the reason why people don't know what it's like really be, to be truly moral people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Ooh. And I never knew this, and I don't want to, you know, get away from what I'm trying to say tonight, but I never knew this. You go back in the Old Testament and you study the laws of the Old Testament, that, you know, it says divers' laws. And you study the laws of the Old Testament. You're going to find out, and of course, the laws that he brought to his people Israel were important because they had to do with laws pertaining to him, our relationship with him. Those are what you call moral laws. And then you had civil laws. The relationship, when we talk about what civil laws are, it's a relationship between us and our fellow man. So you had the moral laws, you had the civil laws, and then you had the ceremonial laws. All right? The Mosaic economy. Everything that the Lord instructed Moses as far as the ceremonial laws. Those are the only laws that we don't attend to today. Why? Because we're walking in the new covenant. Okay, but all these other laws are still in place.
Amen.
The moral laws, the civil laws. And when you look at it, Jesus was talking about him when somebody asked him, Lord, what is the greatest, Master, what is the greatest law of all? What is the greatest commandment of all? He said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, with all thy strength. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. In other words, all suspended on those two commandments.
Right.
So in other words, they're all still established.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. God never, never disannulled his moral laws.
Amen.
And I came to that understanding sometime after I was a born-again believer, and I realized this, hey, you know what? So that means all those laws, if we walk in the Spirit, we're going to fulfill them.
Amen.
So those laws that were an abomination to him, guess what? They're still an abomination to him.
Right.
And a lot of people say, no, that's the Old Testament. No, no, no. Guess what he did? Jesus said it himself. He brought him up to the New Testament.
Right. Amen.
And see, and a lot of people don't understand it. Then the Bible says, whatsoever maketh an abomination, whatsoever is a lie,
mm-hmm.
huh?
Amen.
He said, guess what? It's not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven.
Right. Amen. That's right.
So that's why it's important for us to, when you know, not just how God moves upon us and how he's able to come down to basically our level.
Mm-hmm.
He has to do it by his written word. We hear it. And we say, okay, this is our textbook. Right here. It's the written word. This is our textbook. We come and we hear. We receive knowledge. We receive knowledge. What we do is we take it and we, amen. We ingest it. We obey it. And then what happens? And all of a sudden, boom. Then comes the understanding. A lot of people that really don't allow the Holy Ghost to have liberty in their life, you know why they question God's word? Because they don't have that understanding. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? So that's why it's really important. That's why he said, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Amen. Remember what we're talking about, inconsistencies. Their goodness was not long lasting. That's how you know that they didn't really, amen, they didn't really receive it. Their goodness was not long lasting. Our goodness shouldn't just be a short-lived goodness. We were talking about that in men's group the other night. We were talking about inconsistencies. Inconsistencies.
Yep.
We don't like to hear that. But, get uncomfortable. Oh, when we talk about faithfulness, because this is all part of it. Of course, they were unfaithful, weren't they?
Yep.
Because they drew back and they always, you know, like he said, they forsook his covenant. You know what? You know how they forsook his covenant? They worshiped other gods. They worshiped dead gods instead of the living God. That was one of his things. He said, thou shalt have no other God before me. But here's what they did. They just walked away from him and they went back to the false gods. And so they were inconsistent. If you ever study, what's really interesting, if you study the nation of Judah and even Israel, the northern tribes, you're going to find out that all through the reign of those kings, they all, the nation as a whole, both, you know, both the northern kingdom, southern kingdom, both of them is just kind of like this. They're, sometimes they were up there and sometimes they were down there. And all depended on the king that was there, sat on the throne, led them to righteousness, but some took him down. So you see that inconsistency. It's up and down, up and down. Somebody says, well, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Let's just accept it. I never really, really realized how important it is for us to be consistent. Yes. Consistent in our living for God. I don't think the Lord wants our if there's a spiritual graph, I don't think he wants to see this proof of our spirituality. We're up and then we're down. We're up and we're down. We're up and we're down. I actually think the Lord wants us to go like this. I think he starts out, we start out at a low plane, and guess what? I think what his will is that we go. And the only way we're going to achieve that is if we're consistent.
Amen.
If we're faithful. Amen. If we're obedient.
Amen.
If we submit ourselves.
Amen.
So the only way we're going to achieve that. Amen. Even, and that's including all the disparities that we experience. Temptation, trial, persecution, affliction, sickness, no matter what it is. Adversity, guess what? We're battling all the way. But God says, hey, if you just follow me,
right.
You just hold on to me, if you just get a hold of my word,
amen.
You're going to be, you're going to go up.
Amen.
We're going to continue to go up.
Amen.
I believe God wants us. He doesn't want us to be inconsistent.
Amen.
He doesn't want our goodness to be short-lived.
Amen.
I don't want to break into any preaching tonight. Bible study night, so I'll be a good boy and just keep it down, keep it on a download. And I feel the Holy Ghost up here, so I want to take off. But I want you to retain what I'm telling you tonight. I want you to receive it, because we need to get it out of our thinking. We need to get it out of our mind that we can fall every now and then, or we can fail every now and then. That's not true. If we pursue God, and if we really seek him like we should be seeking, no matter what happens in our life, guess what? We're always going to be in the place where we will always, why does he call us more than conquerors? That we can overcome everything that comes our way. We can be overcomers. Guess what? We can be overcomers.
Amen.
We can live
Amen.
For him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But that's up to us. That's up to us. One thing the church shouldn't have is a revolving door.
Right.
We need to understand. People don't think they can be faithful. I beg to differ.
Amen.
If your heart is really set.
Right. Amen.
Look what it says. Let's go to James chapter 1. Let's just do some reading here. James chapter 1. And this is something, I guess, that's really amazing. Hallelujah. Excuse me, man. James chapter 1, we'll be reading verses. We'll start with 21 if you're there. And this is what it says. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Eliminate some things. Ooh, because we are like that. Human nature is like that.
Yep.
And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
Amen.
Wow. So what's the difference? We could just be hearers. We can just come and all we can do is just hear. Mm-hmm. That might be the, experience. The level of experience that a lot of people have. Just come and hear. Soothe your conscience for a little while. Oh, that sounds good. And all we did was just hear. Made me feel good for a while. But then, if you really think about it, he doesn't just want us to come and hear. He wants us to do. So when we hear the word of God, when we hear, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
It's amazing when you obey God's word. Guess what happens? You find out. God will always bear witness to it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Something will always happen. God will always prove himself to us, to each and every one of us individually.
Amen.
And all we have to do is obey. All we have to do is be a doer.
Amen.
Be a doer. That's important for us to understand. Praise God. Let it sink in. Ooh. You think about that. Because he likens that when we forget, when we're forgetful, when we don't, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he said he's like unto man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholds himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Just looks in the mirror for a little while, boom, there he goes. Then he forgets what he really looks like. Hallelujah. It's kind of something that I wonder, you know, I'm a pastor. I've been doing this for a long time. And you do your best to try to reach out to people. Come and hear the word of God. You want to make sure that they hear it and that they obey it. You want to make sure that somehow they got a hold of it. They got a hold of it, so when they leave here, did you realize something? That God wants you to get a hold of him when you come to church.
Yep.
Because you never know the word that you hear and the word that you obey, how it might somehow help you when you're out there. So he doesn't just want you to be a hearer. He wants you to be a doer, because you never know what that word will do for you.
Right.
And we leave here and we don't realize it, because we didn't pay any attention to what was said. How many of you can remember?
Right.
Yep.
Praise God. Go back over the weeks and sometimes I have to think, what did I minister on last week? I have to stir up the old mind. But then it comes back to me. Oh, yeah, okay, that's what it was all about. But sometimes we tend to let it slip. Sometimes we forget. We shouldn't be that way. And that's what James was talking about. We forget. So we forget what manner of man or woman we are. So you know what? We shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't be forgetful. I think that's the reason why a lot of people, when they get out there, it just seems like everything just boom.
Yeah.
And when God spoke it to us, and he wanted us to retain it for a reason. So when the moment came and we needed it.
Right. Amen. Right.
We needed it. We needed to hear that instruction. Everything that we hear over the word, over the pulpit, can be applied to our lives. May not make sense right now, but all you have to do is listen and do, retain it. And when you go out there, what's going to happen? You're going to confront a situation. You're going to say, oh, this is what the word told me to do. And so you obey. You do what you can. So when you think about it, being able to retain the word of God, it's important. Really interesting. Go with me to Ezekiel 33. My. And Ezekiel 33. Praise God. Ezekiel 33 and verse number 31. Let me see if I have it. Oh, yes, okay, that's the right one. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Amen. It's something, isn't it?
Amen.
You think about it. All those things. We are impulsive creatures. We are. We're not careful. We do things on the fly without even thinking about it. Impulsive. Amen. Talk about, you know, in classes of treatment and dealing with people's addictions to alcohol and drugs and a lot of other things, a lot of other vices, behaviors. And that's what I tell them. We talk about a thing that's called physical and mental addiction. A psychological addiction. I said, one thing I want you to understand about yourself, you're impulsive. You do things on the fly without even thinking about it. You just do it. You're impulsive. I said, but you know what? We could all say this. I said, when you get to that point where you allow yourself to do that, you're going to find out your impulsiveness leads you to things that after you fulfill them, after you commit whatever act it is, guess what? Afterwards, you feel amen. You feel guilty. You feel shame.
Amen.
And you ask yourself the question, why did I do that?
Right.
Why did I do that? That was amen. That was unbecoming of me. That was really a lot of stupidity. We just did it, but that's human nature, impulsive. We just do things. We do things on the fly. We just step up, we do them. Praise God. God doesn't want us to be impulsive. Everything we do, the Bible says that we're to, amen, we're to acknowledge Him, commit our way to Him. Sometimes we're supposed to ponder the path before us. We're supposed to even utter a prayer when it comes to knowing not what to do. What do I do, Lord?
Yes.
Acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways, and He shall what? Direct thy paths.
Yes.
So we're supposed to ask before we act. And a lot of times we do it without even thinking about it. What are the? There's going to be consequences. There's going to be consequences to the things that we do. So we need to kind of step back a little bit and not be in a hurry. Praise God. I remember Brother Gerson telling us, the devil likes to push. The devil likes to crowd. The devil likes to be in a hurry. He said, but God's Spirit will always lead you. Wow. Kind of made me think, oh, wow. That makes a lot of sense.
Sure does. Amen.
Makes a lot of sense. I just don't want to jump on it. Everybody seems to be jumping on the bandwagon because everybody else is.
Yep.
That seems to be the mentality. That's the trend of the world. Oh, man, everybody's doing it. Go ahead and do it.
Yep.
It's okay. You know? It's okay. And the word says, don't follow a multitude to do evil. Don't do that.
Amen.
God says, hey, come on, don't be like that. Just step back.
Amen.
Assess. And try to somehow make some kind of, amen, judgment call if you need to. And consider the consequences. Man, oh man, guess what? There's a lot of people that right now are suffering the consequences of something they did years ago.
Yep.
Yes. Seems like they can't shake themselves from it.
Right.
Man.
And
that's how much, amen, that it torments and curses your life.
Nope.
Amen. That's why it's good for us to slow down a little bit.
Yep.
I have no choice now. I'm getting older. I have to slow down a little bit. I can't run as fast as I used to. But not to be impulsive. Don't be like a lot of people. Just say, hey, man, put yourself there. Mm-hmm. Amen. We're in the house of God for a reason.
Right.
To hear instruction.
Right.
Yep. Ooh. God might be telling you, slow down. Huh?
Amen.
Need to pay attention. As one young man said one time, I'm so poor, I can't pay attention.
I like that.
Praise God. We don't need to be like that.
Amen.
We can still have a move of God.
Yep.
Yes. Amen.
Some of these, you know, we get into the Spirit and the Spirit's moving, and you know, I tell you what, I don't want to be in a hurry.
Uh-huh.
I just want to enjoy God's presence.
Yep.
I just want to bask in His presence and just feel after Him. You never know. You never know what can happen to you if you pay attention.
Right.
If you feel after Him, you never know what God will do for you. He might reach down and touch you and give you a revelation, an understanding. He might even heal your body. He might even deliver you from, amen, darkness.
Amen.
Or evil. You never know. But sometimes we're in a hurry. Come on, let's hurry and get it done. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Cut and dry, cut and dry. I always remember people asking, hey, how long is your church service? I said, well, I can't tell you that. I said, sometimes we're there for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. It all depends on God. They, what?
Amen.
Yep.
Yep.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
be able to spend time in His presence,
yep,
that's right,
should be something that we should all be hoping for.
Yes.
Looking for it. I mean, yes. Time shouldn't be an issue with you.
Yep.
As I said before, a lot of people are in a hurry to go no place,
right,
nowhere.
That's
why are we in a hurry? Praise God. I'm not in a hurry to go any place. And I'm not in a hurry to die either.
That's right.
Ooh, so I want to enjoy the presence of the Lord. I just want to come in here and just walk through Zion. Walk through Zion, as He said. Take my time. I want to take note of everything. Praise God. But let's not be like that, as He said. As He said, they come unto thee, they sit before thee, they hear your words, but they will not do them. Hallelujah. Somebody's probably saying, oh man, pastor, why do you have to talk about that tonight? I'm not a mind reader. Amen. I've been praying for the gifts to operate more freely. Because I want God, if there's anything that needs to be brought to light, I want the Lord to bring it to light.
Amen.
That way you'll know.
Amen.
It's not pastor, it's the Lord. He's,
yep.
Because I know something, people kind of hold back. I don't dare want to say people hide things. Maybe they do. But people hold back. They're not really truthful about what's going on in here. So they just want to keep it under wraps. But you know what? Did you realize this? When you do that, you impede, you hinder the move of God in your life. When God wants you to just let it all go. Everything that you're hearing tonight, obviously it's a hint to you. Mm-hmm. It's an indication that God says, hey, come on. Don't just come. Don't just sit.
Yeah. Amen.
God's word was never intended just to be entertainment.
That's right. Right.
Amen.
That's right.
That's
right.
I'm the kind of guy, like, I like to get things moving. And you know, I just want to, you know, that's just the way I feel. I mean, you feel the Holy Ghost and you just want to, woo, you want to go with it. But sometimes I have to slow it down. Mm-hmm. And here I am inside, I'm just going, but I have to do this so you can somehow get, you know, you can retain what the Lord is trying to tell you, what you need to do. And this is one thing that we need to understand when that happens to us. Praise God to be able to hear. And that was his problem with his people. He said that they, you know, they just had that problem of retaining his word, knowing. Praise God. Having the lack of knowledge. So when we do that, guess what? What happens? We tend to, because of that, being in that state of being, we don't have really the strength or the resource or the substance that we should have to be able to maintain and even our personal relationships. Wow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How we interact with one another. Huh?
Yep.
How we treat one another. Now, I know there's a lot of, if I want to say, issues and discrepancies and things that happen, relationships, dynamics, as we say, in the counseling field, dynamics, there's those things that happen. But guess what? The Bible says, Jesus said, hey, Peter said, amen, that love, charity covers a multitude of sins. Mm-hmm. That's how we deal with it. How we deal with the problems in the church? Love.
That's
love.
Amen.
Yep.
And if you have love, you're going to forgive.
Amen.
That's what's going to settle the quarrel, the argument. Love. You're going to forgive. You're not going to be offended. And that's because we've retained the Word of God. We retain that knowledge. Because, if you ever realize this, of course, Paul was talking about that to Timothy when he wrote to Timothy. He said this. He said that people are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Right.
But they're not learning the Word of God.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
Learning everything else.
Picking up everything else but the Word of God. Oh, you young people.
Yes. Listen. Amen.
Amen.
Here comes those Holy Ghost crosshairs. Man. My. What an experience I had. A lot of things I wanted to do because I wanted to know. And of course, sometimes you go in the wrong direction. But you're going to find out. I'm just telling you by experience, don't go there. Because you're going to find out it's not going to satiate the need that your soul has. It's not going to bring satisfaction. It's not going to bring contentment. It's not going to bring peace. It's not going to bring love. It's not going to bring joy. You're always going to be lacking. Pay attention. You're always going to be lacking. When we all disregard or we turn off, we somehow are able to, when the Word of God comes, we reflect it. Hallelujah. You want to be happy? Pray through to the Holy Ghost.
Nope. Amen.
That's all it takes. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of knowing the truth. There's so many people that need to come to the knowledge of the truth. Man. You think about that. So why is it? Go with me to the book of... Oh, man. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to have to speed it up here a little bit. Book of Matthew, chapter 13. Depth. First thing that comes to my mind is depth. When we talk about depth, you see here, and we'll just do a little reading if that's all right with you. I got it. And here we see here in verse number 3 in chapter 13 of Matthew, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. When he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So you see, here he's speaking about the parable of the sower, and then and his disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Behold, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. So he says, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a little while. When tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30. My. So you think about it. When we read the story of the parable of the sower, and we take a look at it, of course, that's exactly what takes place when we are in that place right now. All of us are in that place right now. And all this will obviously fulfill whatever it is, wherever we are, whatever type of ground we are, we will fulfill. But what is, when you take a look at it and you see what he's saying right here, of course, you know, the word of God is the word of God. It's true. These things will be fulfilled. But what will transcend the experience that he's talking about, these four types of ground, really three types of ground that he says are not good ground. The wayside, huh? Is that what he said? Mm-hmm. The wayside and the stony ground and the thorns. Those three types of ground, amen. That's what is, a lot of people don't realize, but that's the kind of ground that exists in our hearts. Either one or the other. So how can we deal with this? I believe this. God can be able to intervene, and God can, like I said, he can transcend. He can go beyond whatever it is that you and I, whatever our dilemma is, whatever it is. But you know what's going to take place as we read in all these scriptures tonight? What's going to take place? It's going to be the condition of our heart. How we approach and how we receive everything. I'm here because I love the Word of God. I'm here because I love God. So because of that, guess what? God is able to impart whatever understanding, whatever wisdom, whatever truth that He wants to give to me. That's really valuable. And so that's what He said. They see, but they see not. They hear, but they hear not. And He said their hearts are, amen, they're wax cold. They don't love me. Makes a difference when you love God. Yep. Makes a difference when you apply yourself to, amen, the Word of God. And that's the reason why a lot of people, and I say this, and I know many times people get offended when I bring it out in this way, but so many people are so shallow in their spiritual experience. That's why their goodness never lasts. There's no depth. Woo! There's no depth. So what am I saying? You think about that. You think about that. If you really look at the percentage, of course, we talk about the parable of the virgins. Half, you know, half of the virgins were ready. But if you want to break it down, you know, and you want to break it down, the percentages are kind of, if I want to say it that way, it doesn't look good.
Right. That's right. Right.
Not everybody's going to heaven. Not everybody's going to make it. Man, we need to, how would I say, what's the word that you would say that when you want to, you know, get people to understand, but a lot of people think that, man, I believe in God and God's love, so I know I'm going to make it. But let me tell you something, not everybody's going to make it. Not everybody's going to make it because, yes, God does love you. But here's the thing. You need to love God.
Amen.
And in order to love God, guess what? You're going to do the necessary things you need to do to ensure that, amen, you're going to, amen, you're going to receive from Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that's the reality of it. When you think about it, being able. So when we allow that to happen, then that change occurs. It happens, and as we're rooted and we're grounded in the Lord, we begin to really grow in Him, our understanding. We're going to be fruitful. We're going to, amen, exhibit, amen, His righteousness, His truth, His knowledge. Walking in the Word of God, walking in the counsel of God's Word, we're going to know His righteousness. We're going to fulfill His righteousness because we know. See, that's all part of it. That's why this is all important to us.
Amen.
Amen. We're not weakened warriors.
Amen.
Nope.
This is not a, amen, what's the word I'm looking for? A hobby.
Yep.
It's for those, like He said, to whosoever will, let him come. Let him drink of the water of life freely. Guess what? It's because we desire it. We want it. We're thirsty. We're hungry.
Amen.
We want to seek God. We want to pursue Him.
Yep.
We want to grow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
we're going to open ourselves up to Him and to His Word. And when we do, guess what? His goodness. You know, I was talking to somebody, and we were talking about my grandparents. My grandma, Kate Blue Thunder, her married name, her maiden name was Rubidoux. That was my grandmother's sister, my dad's mom's sister, Grandma Kate. Grandma Kate lived. She almost reached her 110th birthday. Wow. She lived to be 109. Wow. And guess what? She was a spry. She was spry. Woo! And then all our relatives on that side of the family, you go on, and my Uncle Ray and my Auntie Rhoda, they all, Auntie Rhoda reached 96. I think Uncle Ray was 95. There was quite a few of them up there in age. And of course, my grandparents, they were in their 80s. We were talking about longevity. Longevity. Long-lasting. Long-lasting. I'm not just talking about age, but our ability to live for God, our goodness. Wouldn't it be nice to have some longevity? Yes. Something that would last a lifetime.
Yes.
Amen. We can be consistent. Obviously, they were consistent in something. Because if they weren't, that's the kind of people that, man, every pastor wants to see living for God.
Right.
Woo-hoo. Right. No in and outers. Mm-hmm. No uppers and downers.
Amen. Amen.
Just solid, consistent, yes. Faithful, obedient.
Yes. Amen.
Always there. I can look over and say, oh, yeah, there they are. I won't have to worry about, are they going to be here this Sunday? Or are they going to be here Wednesday? Or, amen, they're always there. They're always consistent. They're always faithful. Their goodness is long-lasting. My. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be that kind of people. This is not something that, like I said, it doesn't just happen because we want it to happen. It's not a random affair. It's because we apply ourselves to it. Praise God. Thank you very much. Remember, garden party, Friday, 5:30. Looking forward to service again this weekend. We had really a good service this weekend, past weekend. Looking forward to it.
Amen.
More of the move of God. So God bless you. Greet one another in Jesus' name. Y'all dismissed.